Here this evening. On the way down here, I rode with Mickey. I went to his house and rode with him, and he had 102.1 on. And it was at Lars Larson. And I said, "You can turn as far as I'm concerned." He said, "Well," I said, "no, I have it on here because it's on Wednesday nights. I've been listening to you." And I listen to the audio I get to the church. And I told him, I said, "Well," he said, "probably kind of glad you didn't have it tonight." I said, "Yeah, after what happened last Thursday night, I didn't want to talk anything about football. So going to the church house is sure better than talking about football." I'd like to call your attention this evening to John, the book of John, chapter 21. John chapter 21. I want to read three verses. In John 21, it's very familiar. I'm pretty sure that most of you who have read the Bible, or who can read, so to speak, and I'm so sure that Brother James's children can read, and either they've read it themselves or they've been read this particular scripture, so most everyone here will be familiar with this scripture. It's found in John 21, verses 15, 16, and 17. "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?' He saith unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He saith unto him, 'Feed my lambs.' He saith to him again the second time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' He said unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He saith unto him, 'Feed my sheep.' Verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, 'Lovest thou me?' And he said unto him, 'Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Feed my sheep.'" I've heard many ministers say that the reason, I don't think I turned this on, did I? Is it on now? Okay. Apologize for that. I had it rigged up, just didn't turn it on. I heard a lot of ministers say that the reason he asked Peter three times is to remind Peter that he denied knowing the Lord three times. I think there's something else here. I don't know about you, but I have to be reminded many times of different things that I need to do. Have you ever been in your house or been outside and you started going somewhere to do something, and then you stopped and said, "Now, what am I going to do?" So you go back to the point where you had the thought, and then all of a sudden it comes back to you. You ever done that? I was out in the yard working today and went to get something that I needed. Started walking to get it where I thought it was, and what am I doing? So I went back, and I thought, "Oh, I know what I'm going for now." I think he's trying to tell Peter something. He's asking him three times because he wants Peter to hear the answer that he gives him. Peter answers him all three times the same way: "Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And each time, the Lord tells him there's something that he needs to do. The first time, he tells him he needs to feed the lambs. "Feed my lambs." Then he says, "Feed my sheep." And the third time, he says, "Feed my sheep." Peter had been called to preach the gospel. He had been called to serve the Lord in that capacity in preaching the gospel. And I'm going to tell you, friends, I believe that the minister has been called. There is a field for him to labor in, and that's his task. That is his responsibility. That's his duty, is to feed the sheep and feed the lambs. When Mickey and I were ordained, Dad told us, not during the ordination service, but he told us that always remember, if you can get the trough low enough that the lambs can feed, the sheep can feed also. Understand, there's some young folk here, some little ones that need to eat also. And you bring some things there that they can understand. Well, I'm also reminded sometimes there are some of the sheep who are still acting like lambs, if you will. They still need the milk instead of the meat of the Word. So he's telling Peter something here, that you have been called to serve me and is to preach the gospel. That's what he's telling. But he's also telling him and letting him know by his own answer there's a reason for this service. And you know what it is? Love. The reason we serve the Lord is not out of duty. It's not out of obligation. It's not out of responsibility. It is out of a heart of love. Friends, that's where it all comes from. And he is telling Peter that. Do you love the Lord? If you truly love the Lord, my friends, you don't have to tell anyone that you love the Lord. It will show by what you do and how you live your life. Mickey and I were talking on the way down here, and there's an article in our newspaper today about a young girl who OD'd. Her mother was pretty blunt about things, hoping to help someone else down the road. Friends, I believe that's out of the heart of love. It was a tough love. Let me tell you, it's love. And let me tell you, we ought to be motivated by love. This is not fear. We don't come tonight of fear. We don't come just because it's our duty to come, but we ought to come because we love the Lord and have a desire to worship Him and serve Him here while we pass the shores of time. The main part of motivation of worshiping the Lord is love. I want to make sure we get that first and foremost. That is first and fundamental is love. L-O-V-E. And he's telling Peter that. Peter answers the question. He says, you know I love thee. You know I love thee. Lord, you know that I love thee. Each time the Lord asks him the question, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know that I love thee. You don't have to tell me what you love. I guarantee you, Sister Jenny and Brother James can tell you something I love. Because they see me all the time at their house. All times of the morning, all times of the day, cold, hot, it doesn't matter. I love to fish. There's a reason I love to fish. It's a challenge, and I'm down there by myself. There's nobody there to bother me most of the time when I go fishing. I like that. There's times I like to be by myself. There's people who may not like to be by themselves, but I like to be by myself sometimes. It gets me away from all those things in this life. Brother James asked me about my day today. Let me tell you, for a guy who's semi-retired, it was a hectic day. You ever seen a dog chase his tail? I think that's what I did all day. I went around in circles. So by the time I thought I was going to start doing something, I got a call to go do something else. And then when I got there to do that, I got a call to go somewhere else and do something else. By the way, the minutes are being printed. I looked at the proof copy today and they're going to be ready here pretty soon. I think we got them right. If it's not, it's Brother James, Brother Mickey, Brother Joseph Childs, or Brother PJ's fault. Because that's who was the editors of it. I did the work, but they were supposed to find the errors. And they sure helped me there. But let's get back to what we're trying to talk about this evening. He's telling us out of a heart of love. If we love the Lord, we'll have a desire to come into His house, to meet with His people, to sing the hymns. I don't know about you, but I love to hear hymn song. I love to hear good. It don't have to be good singing. If it's heartfelt singing, if it's singing from the heart, I love to hear it. I love to hear the prayers offered by those who have talked to the Lord before. And you know what? You don't have to tell me about your prayer life. If you're called to pray in public, I can tell you a lot about your prayer life by the way you pray in public. I can tell whether or not you've ever talked to the Lord before. And friends, it's not about being able to say it this way or this way. It's about just direct communication as a father would have with his son. Our son would have with his father. That's what we are. We're his sons. I love to hear preaching. I love to hear good, sound preaching. That stirs up the mind. And you see, he's telling him it's done out of a heart of love. He's also telling him something else. How many of you got each time that he told him what to do, did you get what he's telling him? He said, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Did he say anything about take care of Peter? Take care of Peter? Take care of Peter? The service of the Lord is about others. It's about serving others. If you don't trust me, you don't believe me, Let me take you to another very familiar passage of Scripture found in Matthew chapter 25. I will be safe to say that most of you have read this. You've heard it preached on before. You've heard it quoted during preaching. And here's what it says. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Look at verse 35. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer. I like this. And the king shall answer. And say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You see, that's what he's telling Peter. Peter, you're going to serve me by preaching the gospel. By serving others. Friends, let me tell you, there's a lot of people in this world who've got the thought of the ministry backwards. They think the minister is the one who's up here and he's in charge and he's the head of the church. Let me tell you, he's the least. He's at the bottom, if you will. And he is the one who is servant of all. You see, that's the way that it works. There are those who think, well, the preacher is the man. No, he's not. He's a servant, my friends. And if he's a good minister, he's a good servant. He loves to serve the Lord by serving others. And that's what he's telling Peter. It's not about you, Peter. It's not about what you can get from it, Peter. It's about preaching the gospel and getting the good news, my friends. Oh, I tell you, isn't the good news comforting to you? Oh, when you hear of salvation by grace and grace alone, that's great news. If I believe some of the things we heard Elder Shane Arnold preach Sunday night at Antioch, and Brother Shane came from another faith and order, and let me tell you, I'm glad I don't rest my hat and my case on that doctrine. I'm so thankful for what I believe. I'm so thankful that I believe in salvation by grace, that the Lord doesn't lose His children, that there's not going to be one of His children perish. My friends, I'm glad I believe that. But see, the service is about serving others. You say, well, Brother Ricky, I'm not the preacher. I'm not the preacher. Well, there we go right there. There's one example right there of things you can do. I know there's many of you on the sound of my voice that's taking a meal to someone who needed it. There are those of you who went to visit those who are sick. And I'm going to tell you, you may not agree with this, and that's fine. It's absolutely fine if you don't agree with what I'm about to say, but I believe it. I believe there's more people in prison that's behind locked bars. There's a lot of people in prison to themselves and to the things of this world. Just as this article in that newspaper about this young girl who OD'd, her mother had tried everything she could. She had spent all kind of money putting her in these rehab places. But she always, when she got out, she'd come right back to her quote-unquote friends. She was a prisoner to herself and to that thing that's called drugs. Friends, we can visit those folks. We can pray for them. That's how we can serve them. We can pray for them. We can pray for those who see to them and those who love them, you see. I'm reminded of Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I had a sister one time at church I pastored who told me, Brother Ricky, I'm old. I'm old. I don't have any more worth in the church. I'm worthless to the church. And I said, I got to tell you, you're wrong. I said, you're wrong. Let me read you something. Titus chapter 2. Here's what it says in verse 2. Titus 2, verse 2. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. You say, Brother Ricky, that's the men. Okay, good. So let's read verse 3. The aged women likewise, they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Let me tell you something, friends. There's something sweet right there. You, the older women, you know what you can do? You can teach the younger women how to be a lady. I think we're lacking a lot of that in our country. Men are no longer men, and ladies are no longer ladies, if I can put it that way. You can understand what I'm trying to say? Because we're not teaching them to do that. We're not teaching. Not too long ago, my daughter Elena won an award, and somebody said, well, Brother Ricky, you've done a good job raising her. I said, you give that credit to her mother. I said, well, it took both of you to do it. I'm thankful that my wife has taught my daughters how to be ladies. I appreciate that. I love my wife for that. That she's taught them by setting the example of how to be a lady. And each and every one of you on the sound of my voice, I'm sure you can say the same thing. You were taught. I know some of your mothers. I know them. Okay? I know, in fact, just about every one of them. Maybe Sister Debbie is the only one that... Both Sister Debbie's. I don't think I know your mothers, but I think I know the rest of them. And I would say you all had good mothers. Every single one of you. And you ought to be thankful for it. But see, we can carry it on by doing the same thing. We can serve the Lord by doing the same thing. Let's close here. There's one other thing I want to look at. If you were to sum up, I think Brother Dick in his prayer, he summed it up. What is the problems that we're having in the United States? What is it all based upon? I know you're going to say, Brother Ricky, it's straying away from the Lord. Yes, I agree. But you know what it's all based on? Selfishness. So it's all based upon selfishness. He's telling Peter, it's not about you. It's not about you. There's no room for selfishness. You are to feed my lambs. You are to feed my sheep. Don't worry about yourself. You do what I've called you to do. You've been called to preach, and you preach the gospel, Peter. And you preach out of the heart of love. If you love me, that's what you will do. And I tell you, I believe you can read on an act where Peter did some good preaching. Lord bless him to preach. But you know what Peter had done right prior to this? Peter had went right back to what he was familiar with, and that's fishing. Friends, I want to say this as kind and loving and understanding as I possibly can tonight. Tonight is not about you. Okay? It's not about me. If Brother James was preaching, it would not be about Brother James. If Brother Mickey was preaching, it would not be about Brother Mickey. It's about the Lord. It's about the Lord. Brother Shane Arnold made the comment about getting puffed up as a preacher. He said, sometimes it may take you a week or two to realize it. Let me tell you, it took me one afternoon. I preached at a church one morning, the Lord blessed. Brother Roger Lewis came to the service that night and said, I heard the Lord really bless you this morning. I got puffed up. I got in the stand that night. I got started. Thought the Lord was blessing. All of a sudden, He cut it off. I couldn't have told you my name. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. You tell me something that you have tonight that the Lord hadn't given you. One thing the Lord hadn't given you. You know, I'll close with this. I remember a story that I was told one time. This man would go to church and he got to where he was shouting. You've heard the story, I'm pretty sure. He was shouting and he was bothering the minister.
So some of the deacons went down and he was plowing down in the bottom with a mule. The deacons come down and said, "Brother," said, "you're going to have to quit your shouting." Said, you're interfering with the preaching. He said, "Brother, do y'all see all this land here that I've got torn and tilled and this corn growing?" The Lord blessed me with that. He said, "You see the house up there on the hill?" The Lord gave me that. He said, "You see my beautiful wife up there hanging out clothes on the clothesline?" Lord gave me her. "So you see those kids? You see those kids running around the yard?" The Lord blessed me with them. Said, "Won't y'all hold my mule? I think I'm going to shout right now." You see, the Lord's given it to you. And the Lord's given it to you. As it says, who has made thee to differ? In Exodus chapter 11, verse 7, who has made thee to differ? The Lord. So it's not about you. It's about the Lord. And that's what he's reminding Peter. I pray you've got someone to try to speak this evening. Brother Mick.